normal, about $1,000 between now and then. So we have $10,000 to match for a beautification program. That's $20,000. And I know we haven't paid the photographer, but that's still an ongoing issue. We don't technically know how much we're going to pay him. But still, that's $10,000 we can match. It's $20,000 that we can use to beautify Van Nuys. I think that's something we should really look into and something we should take advantage of.
I concur.
You've missed a few meetings, so you don't know. I usually put on the bottom of that, please note there are, and I mentioned it even though I didn't put it on there, pending things. So some of that money is encumbered. We have a whole probably lot less than that. And until I know what they paid and what they haven't, I don't know for sure how much we have left.
But Derek's right, ballpark. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ballpark maybe, but I just, like last year, George thought we had all this money and went whole hog into trying to spend it quick so we didn't send it back to the general fund and lose money, you know, get less the next time. And we ended up going over. And we had to take $7,000 out of this year's budget right from the get-go. And I don't want to see that happen again because that really hurts. So what we need to do is spend what we have, don't overspend.
Very good.
Spend it wisely.
Let's go ahead and approve the treasurer's report for January.
Seconded.
All right. Mr. Secretary, I call for the vote.
30 seconds?
Yes.
Will I get ready?
Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Which
guy
first? George?
We're going to approve your treasurer's report and jump into the meeting.
Okay.
So with that, Mr. Secretary.
President Thomas?
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin?
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp?
Yes.
Secretary Hendry, aye. Mr. Anand?
Aye.
Mr. Kamara?
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
Mr. Guevara?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevich?
Yes.
Mr. Merez?
Aye.
Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Ms. Meyer?
Aye.
Ms. Skelton?
Yes.
Mr. Baleko?
Yes.
Unanimous?
Perfect. Thank you very much. Moving on to new business. Real fast, before we get into new business, the Bureau of Street Services has Van Nuys scheduled for February 28th to fill potholes. I have until February 24th to get them the list of our top 15 issues or potholes or things to be addressed. I sent out an email about this. If anybody has any part of Van Nuys that needs to be fixed or repaved or paint the curbs, any of that, please email the info@vnnc.org email address. Howard's got one for me. There was a lady that emailed in. So I have the list is at 2, and we have 15. We're allowed 15 different places for them to come and fix. So please do that. Get that to me.
Mr. President.
Yes.
5 minutes and 41 seconds. You also sent out an email in regards to the fact that if there's a lot of participation in whoever has the biggest participation in the election,
will
have the mayor, and we'll be dealing with potholes, or he'll be here to swear them in.
He would, if we have the largest voter turnout of all the neighborhood councils, of all 95 neighborhood councils, the mayor in April will come and swear in the new board.
May I comment? I'm the election chair. Let me tell you really quick. There is an online, a way that you can register online to vote by mail. So you only have a certain time frame within which to do that. But if you go online and follow the links and fill out the form to have it sent to you, they will send you by mail the list of candidates, and you can vote and send it back to them, and that will count. And that gets, okay, so that gets counted toward the votes, as well as the people that are here on that day that actually physically vote as well.
Exactly.
We're the only council doing that. We spent $500, and then we were going to rescind it because we thought, we're not going to have that many people. Well, it was too late. So we spent it. Now we will hope people will use that online service and ask for that vote by mail app and have it sent to you.
We have it here, though. We have it here, he said.
Yeah.
Yep. So Glenn Bailey dropped off a bunch of forms for us.
And when does it have to be in by?
It needs to be in by the 13th, so you should probably mail it by about the 10th.
March 13th?
Yes.
Yes, March 13th. So we only have a few days, and then.
Did you get one?
And then.
Can I make copies?
Of course you can.
Yes. And then once you get that done, you can actually vote by mail, and it gives you a little extra time to do that as long as you get the thing in.
You're all good. No worries.
I want to know if it's Android compatible.
She meant application, not app.
The application was not applicable for her Android, and her application. application got lost in the shuffle. It got really involved, and apparently it happened to some other people. And those people, they accepted late. They didn't accept it. Bottom line, we are having a few problems. This is the first time the city clerk's office is handling all our neighborhood council elections, which is kind of nice. Sort of. I say sort of because there are problems that happen when you've never done something before. And we're trying to address. It's difficult, and we apologize, but we don't want anybody to feel disenfranchised. We don't want anybody to feel like they cannot vote, because that's right if you live in the neighborhood. But you will have to self-affirm that you do, and they will follow up later and verify that you actually live in the neighborhood before they will count your vote by mail vote.
Thank you, Jeanette. And Maria, yes, and then we'll jump into 8A.
Are we going to do the
report? I'm sorry? Okay, yes, outreach. The outreach committee chairperson's report.
When they send this in, they send them in the ballots?
They mail that in to request the vote by mail ballot.
Somebody left their notes here just in case.
And then once they verify that.
Everyone, thank you for coming out. Thank you for staying out with us. There is food. I do have to say, y'all may hear me say this all the time when I get up here, but I'm trying to stress this. The DNV is hiring, please. Just had a young man, he is 23 years old. He just got a job with the DNV for driver safety. Driver safety is the one example. If you have a heart attack, you have diabetes, you have something, you go to the doctor might not tell you, but the doctor by law is supposed to forward your information to driver safety just in case you have an issue driving. And that's sometimes you get a note or a letter in the mail from DNV saying, hey, your license may be suspended due to, it's the reason that your doctor forwards you over to the DNV. They are hiring big time for behind the wheel. Then that means to take people out on a drive test as well as to sit behind a desk. Please, please, please tell a friend, because next year they're doing a big thing. It's been all on the news called 8060. That means they're giving license to people that have particular documents or something like that, that don't have a birth certificate, wasn't born here, whatever the situation may be. It's been all on the news. So, of course, we're giving a license to them, as well as if we're going to give them a license, we have to make sure they know how to drive. So they're doing a big, big hiring, please. Another thing, people say they don't want to work for the DNV, but you could just get your foot in the door. And if you like animals, you could become a horse trainer. Why a horse trainer? I mean, that's just how far you can go, because CHP, they ride on horses. CHP is state with us. So state employee could transfer to horse trainers or groomer, whatever the situation may be. You just want to get your foot in the door. If they're doing this big hiring, please take advantage of it. If you speak another language, that's an extra $150 or $200 on your check for bilingual pay. Please take advantage of it. Again, I always say my church, one of the young ladies said they went to the church to get some food and they are aware of it. Please try to do that. Get the food. I know I keep saying it. Please do it, because if not, we throw it away. It's the Rock at the Valley right there on Kester. Please, please, please. Thank you so much.
Bravo, bravo.
Thank you, Maria.
George, government.
Yeah, we're going to. Maria, could you talk to Miriam about that? She was in a very bad car accident, and she wanted to address that. So that's very good. Moving on to 8A, new business. Yeah, Miriam, she'll talk to you about that. That's fantastic. All right, 8A. Appoint Carino de la Cuesta and Paul Anan, the co-chairs of the Ad Hoc Beautification Committee. Do you guys object? Would you like to be the co-chair? Huh? Do you guys want to table this?
Are you asking?
So with the $10,000 from Krikorian's office, the $10,000 that Martinez's office is going to have, and the rest of our money for the rest of this fiscal year, you guys, this is going to be big. And, I mean, I completely support you being the co-chairs. I know Derek would want to work with you on this stuff, too.
Agree with
you. I think we want to discuss a little bit about what we're working on. The things that I put on the agenda here, the People Street, that Carino brought that up, the Government Center beautification, redoing the pergola and the grass in front of the City Hall, that was brought to my attention by Lori Wheeler from Xavier Slavsky's office. So working with her and you guys, you know, running with the torch.
Mr. President,
on that?
Mr. Brown.
Yeah, just real quick. Do you guys have anything on that?
Well, I met with people from People Street. They're through LEDOT. They do like these Park Plaza. I don't know if anybody's familiar with what they do, these pilot programs. They take parking stalls along the streets and they convert them into like little lounge areas outdoors. And it's pretty much taking a day out and make it into like pedestrian oriented.
Or they also do alleys, right? They take alleys and convert the alleys into like parklets.
Or you close down a street, or you create bicycle corrals, which I would think that we need more around here. And also, I've been in contact with the LA Neighborhood Land Trust, which they help neighborhood councils to convert empty lots to parks, to gardens, to dog parks, whatever the community needs. So we're also exploring with that as far.
And then also I actually met with some of the people who were responsible for Third Street Promenade project, some of the original construction people, and some of the ideas that they had originally and that they might be interested in helping us at least come up with some ideas for what we can do along Van Nuys Boulevard.
Very good. Candy, did you have something, sir?
Yes, sir. 5 minutes and 2 seconds. I think these two gentlemen are excellent to take the lead on this. We want to clean up alleys. We want to clean up vacant lots. But one of the things that have been brought to Mr. John Kamara and I and to Mr. Piper was on Van Nuys Boulevard, the liquor store just east of Van Nuys Boulevard. And that whole block in there, apparently there's a lot of illegal selling of alcohol. I don't know what's going on, but it's been notorious for many, many years. But now it's spread to the other corner. And we're going to be doing basically a watch and sit and see what's happening. But none of these businesses should be selling. I mean, we saw a couple of they were literally drunk and they were being sold a quart of beer and stuff. That's got to stop because, we want to take care of the streets and the alleys. But that area has become a haven for illegal purchase of alcohol. And it's got to be covered by the LAPD. But, again, I think these two gentlemen are going to do a great job.
Jeanette, did you have something?
Oh, I got something on that one. Paul would definitely be a good one for that. Because his dad made sure I got some of the best training I'd already had from ARCO itself. But from his dad, I got additional training. There's an agency called ABC, Alcohol Beverage Control. Make a phone call and tell them about that.
Oh, we're going to report it.
Stings.
Big time.
Sheriff's Department, LAPD, the ABC, ATF, anybody that does alcohol, tobacco, firearms, any of those agencies will go and do stings, and they get people that look way underage, and they send them in to buy alcohol. And then when they come out with it, they go right in, take off the jacket that they had on, and say, here's your ticket, you just violated the law. The first one is a warning, and it's also a small fine. The second one is a bigger fine, and if they continue to do it, they lose their liquor license.
Oh, that has
they
to
will happen. Have suspension of the time within which they can sell alcohol. It's up till 2 a.m. currently. Depending upon the area in which they're
Jeanette, additionally related to that, though, is that they're not allowed to have alcohol consumption off-premises or outside of the premises. So they have, when they get their license, they have to indicate where alcohol sales will occur. And if it's within the building, if it's within a certain area in the building, then they're not allowed to make any sales outside of that area. So if they are making sales outside of that area, they would already be in violation of their license.
Building that there is no consumption of alcohol on these premises, and they're supposed to have video cameras and all that stuff. Some in here, some don't. His 7-Elevens have so much security in that respect, you don't have to worry about that ever happening.
Very good. Back to the beautification. Back to 8A. Roland, did you have something real quick?
Yes. Very quick, Mr. Piper, Jim Piper, has been waiting to join us, and so he hasn't heard anything else for his nomination or anything. No, I know. I'm sorry.
We are going to be able to fill the vacant seats after the March election in April. Okay. So we will address all of the vacant seats at that time.
George. Thank you very
George.
Much.
Yes.
There is a sign-up sheet right on the table for the beautification team. If anybody wants to join, not to clean the streets, but to get an ad hoc committee and start mapping the areas where we could look at and transform it. So any input Perfect. Would be good as far as converting empty lots to parks or something that you want.
Very good. Without further ado, I make a motion that we do appoint Councilman De La Cuesta and Councilman Anand, the co-chairs of the Ad Hoc Beautification Committee.
Second.
Mr. Wilenko seconded the motion. Mr. Secretary, I call for the vote.
Okay, just a second. Okay. President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Anand.
Shall I vote no? No. Yes.
Okay.
Aye.
Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yeah.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Merez. Merez is somewhere.
Candy. We're voting for an ad hoc committee for beautification.
Aye, okay. Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Ms. Meyer.
Aye.
Ms. Skelton.
Yes.
Mr. Valleco.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. I look forward to the report next month. Moving on, 8B, discuss the street cleaning and trash pickup at Leadwell and Cedros in Van Nuys. Currently, the trash pickup and the street cleaning are scheduled for the same day, and the streets do not get fully cleaned as they normally would on a non-trash pickup day. We can come back to this as it is Candy's baby, and he's currently doing something. Moving on, 8C, invite an LAPD representative to discuss the safety kit packs and how they can positively impact the LAPD Van Nuys station. We did discuss that already with Officer Kabunik. And I will seek to get an update at tomorrow's CPAB meeting from the captain. Joseph will remind me, and we will get a briefing to you guys next month on that. Next, 8D, adopt the code of civility language supplied by the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment for all council members and stakeholders alike. The code of civility was circulated in the mass email. We've had a couple incidences that Chairman Anand had already addressed in the Government Affairs Committee. Can you talk a little bit about that, Paul?
Well, in our government regulations and rules agenda, we did have a discussion regarding, in general, as we discussed the code of ethics and rules for our chamber. So one of the things that we are going to continue to do now as part of our committee is to come up and probably forward next month as well some additional language to add to this. But there's certain rules which we must all follow when we are within these chambers, and if we do not follow those rules, then we're not welcome here, basically. And there were a couple of incidences where someone was harassed. You could say one of our members was harassed, and there was another instance in which someone felt threatened, one of our stakeholders. So as much as our emotions maybe get the better of us when we care about a certain issue, we must remember that no matter where anyone stands on an issue, that we're all here to do public service, and that what happens in the chamber that really does not need to take place anything as soon as you leave this chamber. There's no need to go and confront anybody regarding any of those decisions or anything that they said.
Thank you, Mr. Anand. With that, the code of civility has been circulated, and I make a motion that we adopt the current code of civility and continue on. And then Paul's committee is going to have additional language, and we will put that, once this the new board gets seated, we will do this all over again with the new language. But as it is right now, I make a motion that we adopt the Neighborhood Council Code of Civility as it is. With that, I call for the vote. Mr. Secretary.
President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Anand.
Aye.
Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Merez.
Aye.
Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton.
Yes.
Mr. Waleko.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Thank you, guys. Moving on, 8E, MTA change in bus schedule. Councilmember Martin, this is your baby. Jerry, what's going on?
Yeah, okay, we got Mr. Israel up here that's going to give a presentation on the changes that's coming up, proposed changes for June of this year.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. My name's Israel Marin, M-A-R-I-N. And I was invited here to talk about the service changes that we are proposing for June 2014. What's the time limit, by the way? I can give a 5 minute or the 5 hour.
You guys are okay with the 5 hour?
No.
All right, how about 7 minutes and 30 seconds?
Okay, that's so I'll give the super slow version of this then.
All right.
So the first change we're proposing is on, and I'm sorry I didn't bring a PowerPoint. I was told there was I couldn't bring a PowerPoint, so I did the old-fashioned foam board method. The first service change we're proposing is line 169, and that's to terminate at the new regional intermodal transit center, which is a new transit center being built at the Bob Hope Airport.
Thank you.
The 5th of March.
So. That's going to be completed sometime in the summer of this year, and we have two proposed changes for that transit center. One of them is the 169, like I was explaining. The other one is line 222, which is the north-south route. 169 is the east-west route. They're both proposed to service the transit center, and they run similar headways. So what we did is the part of the 169 that travels to Sunland was absorbed by the line 222, and that headway is actually getting improved because of the line 222 runs better headway during peak hours. And I'll put this out. And the next three service changes we're proposing have to do with the study that the San Fernando Service Council. There was a motion actually by the San Fernando Service Council in this very same building a few months back to look into an express route or just better service to the west side. And what we did is we looked at a rapids. Of course, we looked at a rapids and analyzed what the patron movement was. And we looked at and there was five main findings. The one finding was that most patrons traveling to Ventura Boulevard. Actually, most of the ridership is between Reseda and Van Nuys. The other finding was that our Reseda Rapid 741 was too short to really be of any use to most people. If you want to travel, say, anywhere to Ventura, you have to take the slower 240 local bus, and there isn't a rapid that does anything with an L shape. Our next finding was that Van Nuys Boulevard actually had a lot of ridership just between Van Nuys. An example of that is line 233 actually has much better ridership than the Rapid Line, even at some of the shared stops, and even considering that the Rapid is the one that travels over the hill to Westwood. And how many findings is that? I owe you guys one. Oh, and then our last finding was that most of the patrons on Van Nuys Boulevard or transferring to Van Nuys Boulevard are coming from east-west routes, not just the orange line, but we have a lot of east-west routes, and people are making their connections. So what we propose to do after gathering all the data and analyzing, we propose to the first thing that came out of that is our Valley U,
which ties Cedar Rapids, a portion of Ventura, and Van Nuys Boulevard. This way, if any patrons making a connection to Ventura Boulevard can do so without having to transfer at Ventura. And that way, the main part of Ventura has enough service. And the same thing from the Reseda side. We have a lot of we constantly have concerns from seasoned students saying, you know, we're taking the slower 240 bus. There isn't enough service. Well, that part of Reseda is now going to be matched with the same service as we do on Van Nuys. So it's going to be improved a little bit better. And we're able to save a little bit of service by connecting the two lines and therefore avoiding a layover. However, any savings will be thrown onto the Reseda side and balance out the service. That also by, well, let me get into my next one. So what's going to be going over the hill now? We are proposing line 734 to be the true Sepulveda Rapid. So it's going to be traveling on Sepulveda all the way from Somar Station to Westwood. And if you're a regular transit patron on Van Nuys, you're actually going to see the loads a little bit better, a little bit less people, or reduced loads on some of the services, because we have a lot of people, like I was mentioning earlier, coming from east-west lines and making their connection there, and therefore making the Van Nuys buses more congested than they need to be. So just an example of that is we often get patrons from Victory Boulevard or Van Nuys trying to make their connection from their east-west buses, and they're seeing the 761 pass and it's fully loaded and they have to wait for another one. And this will be a solution to that. Now, Van Nuys is not, we're not exactly taking all the service away from Van Nuys. Of course, our next proposal is line 588, which we're proposing. Currently, there is no funding for 588. We're currently working on funding for it, but that's going to travel on Van Nuys, starting from Nordhoff up to the Orange Line station, then hop on the freeway from the Victory entrance. We're proposing Victory because it gives the buses a lot more space to hop into the carpool lanes. The carpool lanes are not completed yet. They will be, hopefully, by summer. But when they are and when the funding is... we will be running this at peak service. We're proposing to run it at peak service to begin with. So the first, so from 5 to 9 a.m. and 3 to 7 p.m. at a 15-minute frequency, which is a rather good frequency. And depending on ridership, we might expand that to all day or whatever the case may be. Last thing I want to say is we did have our San Fernando Service Council or the San Fernando Valley public hearing last Wednesday in this very same building. So that's passed. But if you like to make any comments or have any input, you may do so by emailing us at servicechanges@metro.net. I'll leave some of these blue brochures up in the desk for you, as Jerry Martin is showing. You can also mail us, just postmark it. The last day to do so, by the way, is February 14th. So if that's the way you want to spend your Valentine's Day, feel free to do so. And that
any questions
my presentation.
For
we actually, in the perfect world, and don't quote me on this, but we're thinking maybe by this December, if not maybe June 2015.
Anybody else have anything for Israel?
Do you
want to ask him? You want to? Okay, sure. You got 2 minutes.
Thank you for letting me speak. I was here at the hearing. Several people were opposed to it, strongly opposed to it for different reasons, and I'm just going to go over the key highlight points because I know we're pressed for time. Number one, this is very misleading because several people, what they're doing is they're severing service to Westwood, which is a major connection point to other places, especially for disabled elderly veterans. They're going to have to go to Sepulveda, take another bus, the Orange Line. People that normally live around here, like myself, have to go now to Sepulveda, take another bus. If you miss your connection, that means more waiting time. The Sepulveda station is not exactly anywhere close for disabled or elderly people, which means that basically adding the 734 is good, and that's expanding it to Westwood, but cutting out Van Nuys access for people that live in this neighborhood, especially the populations I'm mentioning, plus the additional poor population that serve in the homes in Westwood. There was several strong opposition. Not one of the representatives from Metro brought any of these maps that are showing, to make it clear. They had some maps. I happened to get one of the few copies. These blue things were not put on any 761s or 233s, which I ride daily,
sure,
all day and all night, which I think is just a way to push the measure through. I think it's fraudulent, and I think, yes, he's giving you the day and telling you about your Valentine's Day if that's how you want to spend it, but I think that they want to push this thing through and not give the public ample time or comment period.
Sure.
And the way it was done was fraudulent. And lastly, I want to say that U shape, if you want to go all the way from one end of the U to the other end of the U, when you can actually go through any of those streets, Van Owen, Victory, I believe Roscoe takes you through, and Devonshire takes you through, most of those go directly through. It's much more efficient to take any of those routes directly through, and what's going to happen is all these populations I mentioned are going to have to suffer by missing their times and then also having to go to this Sepulveda station, where all they have to do is get off the Orange Line right here and take the 761, and it usually runs pretty good. And most of the people I talked to on the bus, they weren't even aware of this. So I think if there's anything that this neighborhood council can do to stop this severing of the Sepulveda, the Van Nuys 761 to Westwood, it would be advisable because that also goes to, the Veterans Hospital. It goes to the Getty Center. It goes to the Skirball Museum. And that's just over here in that pass area.
Sure.
And then what about the Amtrak station that runs along Van Nuys? It makes it much more easier for someone to go right to Westwood directly and take it from someone who goes to Westwood regularly to UCLA and other places. It's not a good thing.
Jerry Martin, Councilmember Martin's the point person on this, so if you will work with him, we can definitely address those concerns, and we can see what we can do.
I'll be happy, but you should review the map and review what I'm telling you, and you'll see that I'm very accurate and honest about what I'm telling you.
No, it sounds
and I'm also very passionate about it because it's not just affecting me. It's affecting thousands of people, and you should have been here at the hearing on February 5th and heard people's opposition to it.
Sure.
And there was a strong applause when I spoke, and then two or three other people, one lady that lives in Panorama City, out that way that takes it, that needs to get to work, she's going to be impacted. And then several other elderly people spoke out, too.
Okay, well, Councilmember Martin is going to be your point person on that. Real quick, you guys, Kamara, Councilmember Kamara.
I just want to say, how come they're so successful in New York, and for over 150 years we've failed in public transportation? I don't get it.
I want to just add one last point.
Angeles.
The 761 has been running on Van Nuys Boulevard since the beginning of time.
It's not the buses. Taxis as well. Thank you.
Okay, very good, very good.
I've been living here practically all my life except for 3 years.
Where were you those 3 years?
What?
Where were you those 3 years?
Canada.
How were the buses there?
They're very good.
Okay,
but,
good to hear. All right, so Jerry, you're going to be the point person on
this.
Thank you. Can I be next? Did you want to speak on this, Donna?
761 thing that I take the 761. I've been taking the Van Nuys Boulevard bus since November of 1980. I was on that bus when it was called the 88, and when it was called the 560, and when it was called the 561, and then moving over to the 761. And I don't know where they get the idea that the 233 bus is more heavily used than the 761, because I have to go way in the back of the accordion bus because the bus is so heavily used going down to West Los Angeles. And it seems like it's a lot better way to go along Van Nuys Boulevard. That's because a lot that way they can easily go and do businesses along Van Nuys Boulevard. And so it's going to take away business if you take it along on Sepulveda. Another problem, second of all, that the 233 doesn't go all the way to Ventura. It stops short. So if you're going to do this silly only have the 233, you've got to at least go to Ventura and stop making it short. And I was caught on the 233 one day when I thought I was on the 761, and I had to walk in the rain.
That's terrible.
So, and that last vote, I just want to say 741 real fast. I think it's useless.
It is.
I like the shortness of the bus, so I can see the 741, and I want to see it come back to me easily.
All right, and you, Donna, you have Jerry Martin's email address.
I want to just reiterate what she's saying. I'm not a regular bus rider, but I have taken advantage of the bus. And I tell you right now, there's nothing better than a bus than them bringing in their projects that they plan on spending the initially $180 million. Mr. Jim Dantana told me that this is in the woodworks. Folks, I'm telling you, they're going to screw the businesses here in Van Nuys. We're getting screwed here in Van Nuys. Just like what Candido says, we do love L.A. I mean, not L.A., Van Nuys. We do love Van Nuys, and they love L.A. because they want to screw Van Nuys so that they can benefit themselves. That's
Thank
what the
you,
MTA is in business. They are a private agency. They shouldn't be getting this money from the taxes. It should be repealed. The taxes should be going directly to a public agency and then distributed to MTA. I don't think it's right that they should have their paws all over it because they're just screwing the riding public here. You know, regardless, the fact is that they want to eliminate as much they can of mobility so they can. It's a moneymaker.
Sure.
You understand? It's all it's about money.
Thank you, Mary.
I agree with these people here. I oppose the project.
Very good. And, Jerry, you'll keep us up to date on the latest happenings, won't you? Thank you, Councilmember Martin. Moving on.
Six. Mr. Moran?
Do we have?
Yeah, I was just going to ask about this.
Oh, yes, sir.
Ich heiße Priyam Rana. Ich suche Angebot in mein Privatgesellschaft. Englisch? Ich heiße Priyam Rana und ich suche Angebot in meine Privatgesellschaft durch Score und andere Dokumenten.
I'm sorry, what is the question?
Ich verkaufe Teppich in von einer studentischen Stadt und ich suche Ebenmarkt in Van Nuys und Kalifornien.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
Jerry, do you know the answer to the question? Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Ja.
Okay, now why are you speaking to us in German, just out of curiosity?
Ich glaube, es ist eine Sprache mit des Vereinigten Staaten. Eine Sprache von des Staat. Bitte.
Okay.
George?
Das ist alles, ich habe. Dankeschön.
Dankeschön. Bitteschön.
George, we need to get Israel to come back.
Okay.
Israel?
We are going to now move on from the... Oh, yes. Very good. Mr. Anand.
I was trying to get a question in before it started.
Israel, you're on the hot seat, buddy.
So I just had a question for you regarding this project before all this happened. Okay, so... the way that it's lined up right now, you guys did a study and you found that you have a lot of east-west transit, right? And you're trying to move stuff through. My question is really related to traffic pattern along Van Nuys Boulevard. You said the 761 itself was at capacity or was almost at capacity in general?
Over capacity. It's our busiest line besides the Orange Line.
Now, So that, I mean, but a lot of that is due to the fact that there's a lot of traffic drivers along Van Nuys Boulevard, and a lot of people either work or shop along Van Nuys Boulevard. So, I mean, and obviously with, like, the new buildings that are being added and services that are being added, for example, this our supervisor Xavier Slavsky's project is going to be on Van Nuys and Satakoi. That's going to have maybe 3,000 something employees and thousands of visitors there. So I guess I'm trying to understand, have you looked at any of all this proposed development that's occurring along there and thought about how this these lines would impact, especially along Van Nuys Boulevard, where you have a lot of people who are traveling from great distances, especially if they're getting services, et cetera, here in Van Nuys?
Right. So development usually has to do increase in development usually increases also the load or somewhat of a number on our transit as well. The perfect example is, of course, Van Nuys, where, you know, all the high density, loads of bus. So to answer your question about the loads, we're not proposing to remove any of the service off of Van Nuys. Mm-hmm. Whatever savings we do have from connecting both lines are going to be added because the Reseda side doesn't have as good frequency as Van Nuys does. So we're not proposing to do anything. We're not taking away any service, but we're also on a tight budget, just like most agencies. We also cannot add for too much service. That's an entire different topic outside of the public hearing. Mm-hmm. The idea of having the 734 be the bus that go over the hill is that will relieve a lot of the congestion off of Van Nuys, because now you don't have the people that are backtracking to Van Nuys to make their east or west connection.
But isn't that where your density is? So if that's where the majority of the population is, if that's where your density is, if you're saying we're high density, wouldn't that be the most convenient route of service for them? I mean, I'm taking into account the reason that it's that you have so much density, the reason that's at capacity is that it's almost underserviced, because you have so much density, you have so much activity happening along right. this area. So and, with 4,000, how many people are there in our district? 92,000 people here. With a great majority of them in high-density housing along these areas along Van Nuys Boulevard.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think your concern is with the amount of service on Van Nuys and the loads that we experience. And of course, Van Nuys is one of the biggest corridors. That's why they're proposing to do light rail or the tram alternatives. And you're welcome to make any public comment at our service council meeting. It's the first Wednesday of every month in the same very building, mm-hmm. and you can talk about the amount of service that we need, not just Van Nuys, many other corridors, Lancashire, and you're welcome to do so. So, and anyone else from the public is welcome to do so.
Very good, Mr. Piper. Did you have something for Israel?
Yeah, I think it'll work.
Very good. Good comment. All right, with that, we are moving on to 8F6908 Vesper Avenue. Affordable housing density bonus with two menu incentives, height and side yard. Case number DIR 2013-3200DB. Our planning and land use chair, Carino, could you talk on this? And then we'll bring the nice gentleman up, Vonces.
Well, it was done toward the end of our plum committee, and I think one of the things that the architect who's presenting didn't explain well enough time about the project and ask in the request. So hopefully we'll have enough time to discuss it and explain it, and hopefully we'll have community input as far as what they think about it.
All right, and you're Garo Minasian? Inch pesos. Shotlov. The floor is yours, sir.
I just don't take it home with you.
Sorry?
Just don't take it. The floor is yours, just don't take it home with
you. That was a rolling joke.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm the architect. My name is Garo Minasian. And
I was at the your Plum Committee, presented a project, but we had just about 8 minutes to do it. So I'll make sure I go into more detail today and have enough time to answer any questions. This is a apartment building that's going to be built on Vesper Avenue at 6908. Tonight, there's the owner's representative, the managing partner is here, as well as the property manager is here. If you have any questions of them, they'll be happy to address you. This is a density bonus application. In other words, we're requesting an increase in the density on this site of 32.5%. That makes the total number of the units that will be built 49, which includes 12 units as part of the density bonus. To obtain the density bonus, we are dedicating 4 units of the 12 that are being added. So 4 of the 12 will be provided at very low income rent. And these 4 units will be, we have a mix of 1-bedroom units and 2-bedroom units. So the 4 units, 2 of them will be 1-bedroom, 2 of them will be 2-bedroom, and they are located on all the floors. We have a 3-story building, so we're spreading them throughout the building. They're the same type of units as the full market rate units. The developer is committed to making an investment, financial investment, on Vesper Avenue at this location, and by providing quality living options not readily available there at this point. They are proposing to do a project with the amenities that I'd like to highlight. The building is an attractive architectural design that offers a variety of exterior finishes and detailing on all 4 sides of the building. So the front facade, the rear facade, the sides are all articulated as if any side could be a street frontage. The street will be improved along the frontage of the property, so there will be new sidewalk, curb and gutter, and the street will be repaved, because at this point that street is just a rural type of street where you don't know where the property begins, ends, it just rolls together. I have some pictures of the site. I can, maybe that helps to understand this location. Let me hand that out.
May I interrupt you just for a moment?
Sure.
Is this improvement in the picture that's being shown right now, is that going to happen regardless of your expansion with density?
I'm sorry, this improvement?
Is going to be, this building is going to be built, correct? And if you don't get the upgrade to the higher density, I mean, regardless, this frontage improvement is going to be, it's going to happen regardless, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, anybody that proposes to build on Vesper along this block would have to improve the, you know, provide the improvements along the street. That was my answer. My answer was anybody who wants to develop along Vesper, no matter what they want to build, will be required to improve the street. Yeah.
I don't think they're asking about the street, though.
No, I think that was the question.
I think what he's saying is that the elevation of the building itself, whether the density, increase in density goes through or not, basically that's the basic design of the building, whether it's on a smaller scale or a larger scale.
Yeah, obviously, it will be modified to become a smaller scale, but it will be the same quality, exactly.
Was that what you were after?
Is that
it helps. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Can I finish my presentation?
Yes,
that would be easier because...
Let Garo finish, and then we'll open it up for questions.
The street will be improved, as I mentioned. The apartments will be generously sized, each having private balconies, And each apartment will have its own tankless water heater and its own forced air and air conditioning unit. So they will be metered separately. So everybody that uses gas, electricity, will be paying for it as a tenant. The building has several amenities, which include a large common outdoor recreation area, which is a courtyard in the middle of the building. In addition to that, there are two indoor rooms, one recreation room for gatherings and meetings, and birthday parties, whatever. And the other one will be equipped as a gym for exercising. There will be a trash and recycle room inside the garage that will have chutes that are the chutes will be in rooms on every floor, so the tenants can go to these rooms where the trash chute opening is, and then everything would go down into the garage level in an enclosed trash and recycle room. There will be storage space for 49 bicycles, secured storage. In addition to that, there will be a bicycle repair workshop space. That is part of the standards that the city today imposes on new development. And additionally, there will be four bicycle racks outside the building in front of the lobby for short-term in and out type of securing the bicycles. This is a full security building. The garage is fully secured. The units are fully secured. The building will be fully fire sprinklered, so it's got the upgraded standard of construction. Structure will be designed to exceed the latest requirements for earthquake safety. There are buildings adjacent to it that are the type of buildings that earthquake can damage because I don't know what they call them, but they have completely open parking underneath, so they're not stable. And, of course, the advantage is new construction requires, especially a building like this. By the way, this building will have two elevators. Typically, people provide one elevator, but we chose, because we have a deep lot, to provide two elevators. So I want to make the point that there is no the intent here is to provide a quality building. And if the investment on an extra elevator is $100,000, the developer is willing to make it for the convenience of the tenants. So the units in the back will use the back elevator. The units in the front will use the front elevator. And but in addition to that convenience, the entire building, because it has elevators in it, will be handicap accessible. So every room, recreation room, gym, every apartment, every kitchen, each apartment, every bathroom, each apartment has a bathroom that's accessible. So it's the state-of-the-art construction of a new building that we would like to see happen here on Vesper Avenue. And, of course, the front will be beautifully landscaped. When you see it, it doesn't have much happening there. It's neglected. The trash bin sits outside and so on. This project backs up to commercial zoned property. And so the rear of this property is a parking lot that serves a building that sits on Van Nuys Boulevard, which is a banquet hall. So in some ways, this building provides a good buffer between a commercial zone and a residential zone. And in conclusion, all the items that I've discussed make this project one that will upgrade the quality of living in the neighborhood and enhance the safety and cleanliness of the surroundings. As such, this project will be an asset to the community and set a new standard for future development of similar buildings. that's basically my presentation.
So, Mr. Manassian, what are you asking from us? A letter of recommendation?
That would be, I would be very happy if that could be done, because we want it to be in front of you. We've had these two meetings, and the purpose is to inform the community council and to show the city that the community supports this project. Can I,
sure. Does anyone on the council? Yes, we'll start with Derek.
Hi. Who is here with you? Who are the developers, and who's all in the room with you that's on your...
Antoni Karagozyan is the managing partner.
Uh-huh.
And Amador is the manager of the property that exists, the apartments that exist on the site now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know and you gentlemen know that I think for the best quality of Van Nuys, to improve that area is not to have it as high density as possible. I cannot approve any type of increase in the density of this project just because I believe that density is what's killing Van Nuys. You talk about, you know, we just heard from the rapid transit for Van Nuys Boulevard how overpacked it is. This is right on Vesper and Van Nuys up by Van Owen. In good faith, I could not approve anything that's high density with this project, and I'm sure the way it is right now is even probably too dense. I am going to be completely against this and vote no on a letter of recommendation in this favor.
Can I
just to clarify,
sure, none.
If I may answer that question?
Of course you can, sir.
The density bonus is a city ordinance that does not require a letter or a public hearing or anything of that nature. It is by right. Mm-hmm. So it's an ordinance that says if you are willing to provide affordable units, you are allowed to do that, but you have to provide, you're allowed to have more units, but you have to provide affordable units. It's part of the, it's an ordinance just like there is a requirement for parking, requirement for...
So you're going to get this no matter what, as long as you provide the affordable housing.
Yeah, let me explain further. Okay. Let me explain further. If you want incentives, then you have to apply for it. Density is given by right. So mm-hmm. We could have this density increase of 12 units without any request. But if we request a height increase, which is also allowed, equal to the density bonus, the density percentage that you're requesting, then that's being reviewed by planning. And that's why planning has sent a letter to the community council that there's a development where the applicant has requested the incentives that are allowed for this project. And we choose the incentives. One was the incentive was the height. The second incentive was to reduce one side yard from the required 6 feet to 5 feet. And this application is being reviewed by planning staff, and they will make a determination and issue a letter. But we would like to make sure that the community supports it, because I understand you can't because you're against density, but I can't argue with you on that issue.
Thank you.
Okay, so, yeah. You know, I was going to say that you're coming at it from an increase, which is, as I understand it, like, is it within the existing footprint of the building? So then if it's within the existing footprint, you're allowed to go up to, is it 33%, or there's some, it's like about 30-something.
You're allowed to go up to 35% additional height. Mm-hmm. We're requesting 32.5.
You're expecting 32.5 additional, yeah. So which is as long as it's within the existing footprint. But my question to you is more related to parking. Okay, so if you are doing this, the things that I would be looking for as someone in the community, as well as if planning, main issues are there's never enough parking, right? And then of course you have beautiful landscaping put up there, but are we actually going to have that landscaping as you're putting it? And lighting is another major issue that we have along that issue. So we want to make sure that it's well lit and that it's well landscaped, and that it has proper ingress, egress, and ability for enough parking for that many units. Because what ends up happening is the entire Vesper is just going to end up getting saturated with cars, and there's not going to be any parking spots for anybody, and it just creates a major nightmare.
Yes. I'd like to just hand this over for just a few copies of the rendering. It's easier to see. addressing the parking, we are required to provide parking by code. And, of course, the standards in the old days, they probably didn't have any requirements. So some buildings don't have parking. They park on the street. But today, for a two-bedroom apartment, we're required to provide two spaces. Okay. And for a one-bedroom, a space and a half. Now, there is this new ordinance, which is the bicycle ordinance, which stipulates that if you provide bicycle parking, you can reduce one car for every four bicycles that you provide to park, which is something very interesting, very new. And we've taken a certain number of cars, reduced it by a certain number of cars because of we have 35 bicycle parking stalls. However, we have we've provided more than the minimum requirement. So every apartment, every two-bedroom has two parking spaces. Every bedroom, one-bedroom has one parking spaces. Some of the one-bedrooms have two parking spaces, but it would be probably about three or four cars less than if we had not gone through the density bonus program, in which this parking by right reduction is incorporated. It's part of the ordinance. As far as the landscaping and everything that this rendering represents, it's what we are trying to achieve. In other words, the architecture is what's represented is what we will strive to make sure it is as close and as real as that picture that you're looking at. I've been in practice since 1969, and I have a lot of buildings that have been built. And I've learned throughout these by time and experience that you can achieve what you have envisioned. If you are persistent, you stay on the job until the completion, you're involved in the color selection and the landscaping materials, and I can provide addresses of buildings that have been built, just being finished, so that you can visit them and see the quality of the type of construction and landscaping that goes in them.
Ms. Meyer, and then
exterior
the
lighting.
Top.
And the exterior, last question he had for me was the exterior lighting. There will be the exterior lighting on the building. Obviously, the street has some street lighting, but there will be exterior lighting on the building that probably is not represented in that artistic rendering. But the electrical engineers, we've got electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, plumbing engineers, landscape architects, all these are professionals, and they know what the requirements are, and they do their due diligence in their own field of lighting, for example. All the hallways, exterior.
Well, I mean, to be honest, the code may say one thing as far as lighting is the code is not
right.
Very strong. That's one of the issues.
Exactly. And the code doesn't say you have to build a nice building. The code says just build. But we want to build a nice building.
Ms. Meyer.
Along with Derek, feel that it is way too dense. I know what's going to happen. All the side streets are going to take all the parking. There is going to be nothing left for the neighbors. I would like not to see a flat roof. I want to be sure there's plenty of green space. And have you done any outreach to the neighbors?
So the first thing was the density, and I've already addressed that. You know, we have requested that density. Yeah. Speaking about the roof line reads flat, but actually the units have a sloped ceiling in them, so that in the living rooms, the ceiling height is about 11 feet. Which is a very special feeling to have a high ceiling in the living room. And as they go down towards the interior courtyard, they go down to 9 feet.
I
honestly love Spanish architecture, and I've done plenty of it. Along Vesper Avenue, there is no architectural style that you want to build on right here. I mean, there's all sorts of architecture, nothing Spanish, actually, right there. So it is, the intent is to to do a building that is not busy, but it's an apartment building. Spanish buildings sometimes work well in single-family homes where you can articulate it. It's not symmetrical. I've done them in multifamily, too. They work very well. But in this case, you know, we're... I haven't done any outreach. I'm not sure. Yeah, you can ask. You can ask them. Yeah.
Shelley. Well, I have quite a few comments.
Go ahead. This.
I live directly across the street from where the project is. I live at 6915. I can tell you the traffic on my street is already terrible. It is a daily, several times a day. There is no place for anybody to park on that street when they come to any visitors because all the street parking is taken up by the overflow of residents.
Yes.
Are you gonna speak on the election?
Yes. A bicycle down Vesper
it's right here.
Avenue. That's a death trap. The street is so narrow. When he talks about improving the curbs, Vesper finally got repaved a year and a half ago. Mm. It was a condemned street because it was so full of potholes.
So, what's the cross street of Vesper?
Nice, but we
close to what? Venon?
We have Sherman Way. Whenever it 69. Rains, probably between
Hart and Venon, yeah.
My house comes from all the way up at Sherman Way. There is no storm drain even on Van Owen. It's got to go a block around before you get any drainage. My big concern with this building is the footprint that it's going to occupy. The little houses that were there that are gone, and I think they were ready to go. There was a large, almost a third of the 30,000 square feet of this property was an open field behind these little houses. Now, if my street already floods now, in the little bit of rain that we get, if you build a building with that big of a footprint, only be 4.5 feet per side, and you pave it all, even though it's a very attractive looking building, where is all the runoff going to go from that building? Looking at the little architect's plans here, I see some pumps and drainage. But the question is that water going into the sewer, or is it what comes off the roof just going to add to the flood on the street? And, you know, when we're talking about, if Water and Power will pay me $2 a square foot to put in more permeable soil so that the water will sink into the water table, to get rid of my lawn, to save water. All of these things, when we're trying to put water back in the water table, it seems to me that a building that completely covers this much space is going to just put more water down the drain rather than back in the earth. And at 3 stories on top of the parking garage, I'm never going to see the sun. This is a monolith that's going to be directly across the street from my home.
I see it right here on my phone.
The parking, the driveway for this right will here. Be opposite the driveway to my home.
Mariam.
Now, we already have had an accident George. Just this Monday
George.
Of a resident trying to back out of their driveway, and they got clipped because people speed down Vesper. It's a quick way to get from Van Owen to Sherman Way, so you avoid all the big intersections. So there's already a lot of traffic on that street. The street is so narrow that you couldn't ride a bicycle on it. There isn't bike traffic on that street some issues just with the demolition work that's being done on this street or on this project already. They've been disrespectful of the neighbors as far as while it was being graded. They've had deliveries of dirt after 7 o'clock at night in the dark. You had a dirt hauler pull up right in front of the street 2 nights ago and dump a load of dirt back there.
All right, let's hear from Derek, then John, then Howard. Derek, then John, then Howard. Derek.
So there's clearly a parking problem, a density issue. Am I right in saying that you guys have the authority or the right not to ask for the upgrade in density?
No, he said they have it's
by right.
Well, that's if it's in the same footprint.
That's what I'm saying. You have the ability not to have the upgrade.
Absolutely.
Right? And I'm,
what do you mean by upgrade?
The right to have higher density. You have the bonus. You have the ability not to have that bonus, not to request it.
We have ability to do anything we want.
And what I want to negotiate with our board, and I think we'd get behind the developers and everyone else, is if you didn't ask for that right, how can we then support you to make this the best project possible?
I don't understand. If you do not support the density that we're requesting, the increase.
If you don't actually exercise your right for the bonus, the increase in density, right. How can we then?
We wouldn't be here. In fact, we shouldn't be here, except that it is our intent to make this project known ahead of time, right? Because there is no decision that is based on. When it is by right, basically, it is part of this ordinance that you are able to increase your density.
Able, I know.
Yeah.
And I want to try to find a way that maybe you don't have to.
It's not a question of have to. If you have the ability,
George,
to add to your house,
and
nobody can stop you.
Correct.
Okay.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
But if you want to, because you need an extra bedroom or an extra bathroom, you're going to do it, right? Because you need it.
No, not necessarily. It's about social responsibility and about the impact of the community.
I understand. Well, if you want to see development, you have to encourage and provide incentives for developers to invest. Because no developer is going to build something if there is no profit in it. This is the way the business
runs. I believe there's profit. There just may be more profit in higher density, and I think that's the case.
That's right, and that's why things happen. It's if there is no profit here, the profit is in Burbank. That's what it happens. If it's in Glendale, that's what it happens. If it's in Santa Monica, that's what it happens. So every community has to decide. Are they interested to see their community improve, or are they concerned about issues and they don't want to see anything happen? And I understand that. Some communities don't want to see anything happen in their community. George. They like it the way it is, and they insist.
Well, I think we can. I think I'm going to disagree with you on that part. I think we can improve our community without impacting with high density.
Can I ask you a quick question about that? Which is
no, you already had your time, sir. Somebody
real quick.
Else,
Maria's we are going. Late. We are going to call on Maria Schertzer, then Mrs. Hopp,
and then
Mr. Henry, then Mr. Benjamin, then Candito.
4 minutes.
So Maria,
and 2 seconds.
where did Ms. Schertzer go?
Imposed